Scripture reading will come from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall.
As Ken said in his prayer this morning, we are thankful for the songs that we sing. I was thinking especially of the one, Unto Thee, O Lord, Do I Lift Up My Soul. Oh my God, I trust in You. I need to hear those words regularly. I need to be reminded that I have a soul that is eternal, that will outlive this body. I need to be reminded that there is a God to whom I should lift up my soul, as if to say, Lord, this is yours. Use it as you see best. And I need to be reminded that God is trustworthy, that He's always to be trusted because He has my best interests at heart. And so we're thankful for these songs, not just that one, but all the songs that we sing and the encouragement they give us. So we're here today to be encouraged, of course, but our prime objective, our main purpose, is to praise and honor God. And we do that by putting ourselves fully into the worship that is here. We're glad to see you this morning. Glad that you have come our way this first Sunday of the new year, and hope that we will see you many Sundays to come. If you are visiting, we're glad you've come our way and hope you'll come back and join us often. And if we can help in any way, we want to do that, so please let us know. We'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. If you can come, please do. Dustin, I think, is going to give us the lesson then, and I know he will have something good to share with us, so come out and join us. You may have seen in the bulletin at 5 o'clock, Daniel Norris has agreed to talk to us about his experiences in professional baseball. That ought to be interesting, but we'll be through in time for worship. But come out and join us, and it's going to be a great day. It is the Lord's Day, so let's make sure that we give Him the honor He deserves. Now get your Bible and open it, use it. You'll see the passages listed on the screen that I'll be looking at, reading from, and I really hope you'll take time to get there. I'll try to give you time to get there before I read them, and that way you'll know if I'm telling you the Word of God or just some idea I have. You don't need my ideas, though, but we all need God's Word. So let's focus on that now. You have likely heard the name John Wooden. John Wooden is a legendary coach, died in 2010, I believe. But John Wooden was known especially for coaching his UCLA Bruins to 10 national championships. And that is by far the most any coach has ever coached a team to national championships. But did you know that before he was a great coach, he was also a great player? I was not aware of this until I did some digging, but John Wooden played at Purdue University and then went on to play in the National Basketball League, not the NBA, but the National Basketball League. And in that time, over a period of about 46 games, 43 games actually, he made 134 consecutive free throws. He made 134 consecutive free throws. Now understand, those were in game conditions, lots of pressure, lots of fans standing behind the basket, you know, waving their hands and shouting and all of that, and yet 134 consecutive makes. That's pretty amazing. In fact, I believe it is the record. And we say it's amazing because you probably read between the lines there, knowing that people don't make their free throws all the time. In fact, it is rare that anybody reaches the 90% level of making their free throws. We note those individuals. We talk about them a lot because that's really good. But you see, here's a case where that old adage, practice makes perfect, is disproven. It doesn't. And we could talk about other areas of life as well. Practice, practice, practice. And yet there's always that margin of error. As good as you try, you're going to make mistakes. So I guess we can just throw out the idea of practice, right? Well, of course not. Because practice will make us permanent in some things. I first heard that phrase just a few weeks ago, actually. And for some reason, I'd never heard that before. I find that it's been around a long time. But the idea is, no, you're not ever going to be perfect at doing this or that or the other. But practice will make permanent. And that's why athletes practice. That's why musicians practice. That's why actors practice or rehearse. Because we want this to come naturally. We want this to be part of who we are. Could we not take that same principle and apply it to our Christian lives? Of course we can. It is a principle that is true in human nature generally. And the idea is that as we are trying to grow in our faith, as we're trying to become more natural in the way that we react to things, and all of us are frustrated at times as we look at ourselves, why did I do that? Well, I should know better than that. Then let's focus on this idea that practice makes permanent. In fact, this becomes our theme now for the year 2015. And every first Sunday morning of the year, we pray, we will devote the idea to some particular aspect of our Christian lives, areas in which we all need to grow. And the idea will be, if we practice it, if we deliberately practice that quality, we are going to grow, and it will eventually become a permanent part of who we are. Let's talk, first of all, about the making of a person's character. The making of a person's character. You know what the idea of character is? It's who we are. It is the person that I am at this given moment. It may not be the same 10 years from now. I hope I'm not the same now that I was 10 years ago. I hope I'm better. But character, what is it that makes a person's character? You know, I'm sure that when a child is born, there are almost always a lot of tests that are run in the hospital. They will draw blood, they will listen to the heartbeat, they will do all kinds of things. And the idea is they want to find out what is their physical condition. And that lab work can often reveal things that are going to be a problem later on in life. A challenge in one way or another. But that lab work cannot tell what kind of person that child will be. That lab work will not reveal whether that person turns out to be a great contributor to society or a drag on society, because those are things we choose. Those are the choices we make as we go on throughout life. No, the blood work will not show it, but time will show the kind of person that we will turn out to be. So what is it, according to the Word of God, that makes a person bad? Well, let me take you back to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, we're going to look at verse 30. And here, as you know, is that period of time where Israel is not yet home. In fact, they have just come out of Egyptian slavery. They had been in that condition for 400 years. And now God has delivered them from that, and they're on their way to the promised land. But God wants to help them get ready for that. And here is one of many warnings. In fact, the whole chapter of Leviticus chapter 18 is about terrible things that other people are going to be doing. The people that live in Canaan, they're not the kind of people you want to become, God is saying in effect. So listen to what he says in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 30. So keep my charge never to practice any of these abominable customs that were practiced before you, and never to make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. Did you catch that word practice used a couple of times? Now in other translations, it will be don't do those things. That's really the idea. But he says, I don't want you to practice those things that the people are doing that live there now. They are heathens. They are idolaters. They are doing very wicked things. Do not practice them. Now remember, Israel was a newborn nation, so to speak, weren't they? They had just been newly delivered from Egypt, and now they were a nation of their own. And so God is trying to teach them, don't do these things. But as you read throughout the Old Testament, they did those things. Despite what God had told them, they engaged in them, many of them, and eventually God had to punish them for the choices that they had made. Now, could they have said later on, well, we had to do it. I mean, there was no other way we could be. Of course they couldn't have said that. God was saying, in effect, you have a choice. And I'm telling you, don't choose those things because you'll become just like them. That tells us something about what makes a person's character, right? Practicing the things around us. And if you want to see it again, go to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9. And again, God stresses this idea, but then added here is something that happens before we practice it. Listen to what he says in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn, get that idea, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. And what God is doing there is he's trying to give us an idea of how it happens. How can I become a bad person after starting out with nothing but good potential? It's I learn. I look around me and I see what others are doing, kind of like what we do as we watch television or surf the internet. We see what others are doing. We learn about those things. And then we begin practicing the very same things. That's what makes our character. We learn from those around us. We choose to do what is wrong often. And thus we turn out the way they have turned out. You see, the idea of tabula rasa has been debated a long time. Tabula rasa simply means we come into this world with a blank slate. Think of a blackboard or a whiteboard today. And there's nothing on it. It is totally blank. And my life, every day that I live, I'm writing something on it. Things that I'm learning, things that I'm becoming. And a lot of people will say, well, there are some things you come into this world with. We could debate that a long time. But the point is, our character is forged by the choices we make. The Bible's very clear about that. The Bible says we are formed, our character is formed by the choices we make. But let me show you, just in one verse, that it works the other way too, thankfully. Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111 and verse 10. And here the idea is we can become better through the same process of learning and then practicing. And here's what he says in Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And you see, the idea is God's wisdom has been given to us. Those of us who fear God will listen to what he is saying. We will learn from what he is saying, and then we will practice it. That's what it takes. It doesn't just happen. We don't become better people just by going to bed at night and having sweet dreams. We've got to actually look at the right things, learn from those, and then begin practicing what God has shown us is right. And so by now, I think you understand when I say practice, I'm not just talking about, you know, when we're preparing for something big, like practicing our free throws, or practicing on the piano as I'm getting ready to do a recital, or practicing in some other way. Practice is the idea of this is my profession. We talk about those who practice medicine. There are several among us that do. We have those that practice law. And that's the idea. We who are Christians are to be people that practice the things God has shown us. And the more we practice, the more permanent it becomes. And that's the idea we're moving to now. And that is, practicing good qualities will make lifelong good habits. Practicing those good qualities will make lifelong good habits. And the implication here is, and I think you know this, if I'm lacking in a particular virtue that God talks about, then let me focus on that and practice it until it becomes natural, until it becomes a natural part of my life. I found on the website lifehack.org, you may have been to that site at one time or another, some pretty useful information now and then. But on this particular website, it had an entry called 18 Tricks to Make New Habits Stick. Wouldn't you like to know that? I mean, if you've made New Year's resolutions, you'd like to know the secret, right? Well, here are 18 tricks to make new habits stick, but I'm only going to tell you one of them. The very first one on their list, and I think it's first for a reason. And it simply says, commit to 30 days. If you want to make a new habit stick, commit to 30 days. Now, there are other things that they go on to talk about that are very useful and will help you to get those things into your life. But do you see what they're saying? You don't just dabble with it. You don't just say, okay, I'll try this a couple of days, and then if I'm feeling like it, I'll do it another time. No, you commit to it. You're going to do it. I found another website, and it was a blog called Company Founder. And here was the entry on the title of the article: there is no instant success. Deliberate practice is the only way to become great. And in this article, they talk about a formula that others have talked about. You do it for 10,000 hours. When you do something for 10,000 hours, you deliberately focus on that trait, that quality, 10,000 hours or 10 years, then that becomes who you are. Now, you may say, wow, that's a big gap there, 30 days, 10,000 hours. But you see the point in both of them? Deliberately practicing what I do not right now have. I want to have it, and in order to make it stick, I've got to deliberately practice it. The Word of God talks about it. Maybe not in those words, but go back to 2 Peter that Greg read for us this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at it in your Bible because this is so important. Here's Peter telling us things that we need if we are serious about our faith. 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 5, he first talks in verses 5 through 7 about 8 different traits that are necessary if we want to do well in our faith. And I hope we all want to do well. But he says this, beginning in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. And that's number one in the list. Sometimes we talk about the 7 Christian virtues, but let's not overlook the fact we've got to begin with faith. He said, make every effort. Again, verse 5, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Now, why did Peter list all those things? Not just to have something to write, because they're all very important. They're not options. It's not a matter of saying, well, okay, I think I'm going to choose this one, and I'll circle that one, and I'll cross that one out. I don't really like that. If you're approaching it in that way, you've missed it. They're all vital. And if you don't believe it, let's read on. Let's look at verses 8 through 10, because that's the point he makes in verses 8 through 10. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are yours, he says, you won't be unfruitful. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. Having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And as I look at that list, if I'm honest, I'm going to say, there's one or two or eight of those I'm not doing so well at. What am I going to do about it? Practice. Practice these qualities. Make it a point to incorporate these into our daily lives. But this was not a principle new with Peter. In fact, go back to Daniel chapter 4 if you'd like to see another expression of the same idea. And that idea is that practicing good qualities will make lifelong good habits. Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. You may remember here, Daniel is speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar. He's had another dream. And again, Daniel's been called, tell me what it is. I don't understand this dream. And so Daniel does. But now as he's closing, he says this in Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. Daniel had to be a man of courage, right? I mean, to talk to a king the way he talks to him. But he says in Daniel 4, verse 27, therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness and break off your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed. Again, practicing righteousness, that there may be perhaps a lengthening of your prosperity. You see, the idea again is, if you want to replace bad things in your life, there is no better way to replace bad things than by putting good things in your life. That's what he says. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness. Doesn't that work for us today? Would it not work for us today? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. You know the purpose of this letter was to give instructions to Timothy, who was working with the congregation. And Paul, after giving him many different specific recommendations, says this: practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Wouldn't that be wonderful if on January 4th, 2016, we could put that same list back up on the screen that Peter gives us in 2 Peter 1, and you could say, you know, I am doing much better in that particular quality. Last year, not so much, but now I'm doing much better. How did that happen? Because you immerse yourself in them, you practice these things, and all will see your progress. You see, it's not a complicated formula. It's very simple, in fact. It just means that we focus and then practice. And then 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. If you need any further evidence that practice makes all the difference, here's what it says. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous. Now, what he's saying, in effect, is it's not just how you talk. It's not just your profession. It's what you do. He that practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. But then on the other hand, verse 8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Quite a vast gap there, wouldn't you say? Somebody who is righteous over here on the right hand, somebody who is of the devil over here on the left. What made the difference? Practice. That's the word in both those descriptions. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Again, it makes all the difference. And so the point again, very simple, but one that we'll focus on over and over again throughout the year, is when I determine to practice good qualities that may not be very strong in my life right now, if I determine to practice them for 30 days, for 10,000 hours, they will become a permanent part of me, and I won't struggle like I used to struggle. Should we really take this seriously, though? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. And here is an image that Paul uses that ought to show you just how serious this is. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 26, Paul writes, "I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air." You know he's not talking about boxing up gifts like Boxing Day in Canada. He's talking about pugilism, fighting with your fists, a sport, or sometimes a very great struggle. But he says, I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I learned something very vivid in studying this. The word translated disciplined, or in other translations, I buffet my body. That's probably a better word, actually, buffet, because it implies the idea of striking blows. The word in the Greek is hupopiazo, which literally means to strike under the eye. Or we would say today, to give somebody a black eye. That's what Paul is saying. It is that serious. I'm not just, you know, playing around, you know, shadow boxing. I'm actually trying to punch this thing of sin out. That's how seriously we ought to take the idea of growing in our faith and overcoming sin. So practicing good qualities, yes, it will lead to lifelong good habits. And those are habits that are not optional, not if we want to succeed in the Christian life. But before we close, I want to show you one person we don't want to be like. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. We've talked about him often. Listen again. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, where Paul writes about one who had been a companion. In fact, in two other letters, he talks about this man as being right there with him. And you have to infer he was a good companion. But now he says, "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me." And by implication, deserted his faith. I don't want that to happen to me. But wanting it and making it happen are two different things. Right? I mean, have you not drawn up some resolutions for 2015? Just because you want it doesn't mean it's going to happen. We have to make it happen. And I don't want to desert the Lord. I don't want to walk away from what I know is right, what I know is true. And so I have to practice these things in order to make them happen. Practice. It will not make us perfect in the sense that we reach a point where we will never again sin, but practice will make permanent. And the more we practice these qualities, especially the ones that are not so much in our lives right now, the more they will be in our lives with God's help. But let's begin at the beginning. Are you a Christian? And if you're not a Christian, that's where you've got to begin. Because you don't want to do this by yourself. Becoming a Christian means God now is by your side. He's going to help you in ways that he doesn't help people that are not his children. And so if you're not a child of God, don't you believe that Jesus is God's son? And don't you believe it enough that you would turn away from anything God calls a sin, because you know God wouldn't call it a sin unless it were harmful to you? And wouldn't you be glad to stand up and confess your faith in Jesus Christ this day and allow somebody to bury that old person in the grave of water, and you'll come out forgiven, a new creature? What a wonderful way to begin the new year. And if you've done that, have you been faithful, or have you allowed the world to pull you in its direction? Repent. Come home. Pray for forgiveness. We'll pray with you. Whatever we can do, come now as we stand and sing.